The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too
Welcome to the solstice.
I knew it. That's what I was going to do.
It's my brother and me special summer solstice episode.
As we dance amongst the fairy rings.
The sky hangs high with the brightness of a luna as the sun beams down on us from its highest position.
Lightning bolt, lightning bolt.
Lightning bolt, lightning bolt.
Let's all start fucking.
There's only three of us here. It's hugely creepy. I'm the oldest traveler, Justin McElroy.
I'm the middlest and nakedest to Travis McElroy. I'm free.
I emerge from the mist one. I emerge from the mist two. I emerge from the mist three. Hi, my name is Griffin McElroy. I'm a level 14 troll berserker. One of you guys boffed me while I was emerging from the mist, which is LARP rules like 101. You gotta wait for me to be summoned before we can begin our encounter.
I actually have an enchanted mirror of Conchlunklung, and it helps me to see you from the mist.
Have you had those Fritos Conchlunklung? They're so good.
They're buffalo blasted.
Delicious. I did just watch Monster Camp again, so I am like coming hot and fresh off right. The like, that glow that you get after you watch Monster Camp. People, watch Monster Camp. I think you have to like rent it on Amazon Instant Video or something like that. It's an important movie. And it's one of those movies that you watch it and you're like, this is a crazy world I know nothing about and I never will. Look at all these people. And then also you feel like, could I maybe dip in?
That is the great dark secret of Monster Camp, is that you watch it.
You were the monster the whole time.
You were the monster the whole time. You were watching this movie with your significant other, and your wife, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend will be watching it and laughing, and you'll be laughing. But inside you, there's another you that's not laughing.
Not laughing at all.
There's another you that says, maybe I could dip in.
It's weeping with a fantastic longing.
I want our listeners to know that I felt like that goof was general enough that I can't imagine we were making fun of any specific group.
No,
of people,
I think we were mostly making fun of ourselves.
Yeah, I felt that way too.
Because of our distinct lack of knowledge of what the solstice is, what it does.
Don't you take this as an opportunity to educate us either, dear listeners. I'm on to your game.
You can educate me. I like learning stuff. I'm not afraid to learn and expand and grow as a
person. I'm done with that. I feel like I have to, with a child so close, I feel like I have to cauterize myself as a human. I have to like,
you can't grow anymore.
I don't want to grow anymore because that would be confusing for them. So I basically just have to cap it off here.
Well, and then
it's
and
all
then, like,
bigotry
the giver.
And ignorance and just waiting, I guess.
Well, and then you start to pass on your memories to the child as like what it's like to sled and what the color red looks like.
Right.
And how Cinnabons taste.
And where the baby hole in the wall is, where you put the bad babies.
Mm-hmm.
Giver.
Dark book.
It's a dark book.
Dark
I'm
book.
Glad they're
won a Newbery, did.
Yeah. Did it win a Newbery?
I believe it won
Can
a Newbery.
Can we get to the comedy already? I'm dying inside and outside.
I have noticed that the way I shake hands with people may be a little off. I have a firm grip, but I tend to counter the other person's pumps with trying not to pump at all. Instead, I flex my shoulder and arm. So while the person is trying to move their arm up and down, my arm stays completely still.
Yeah, pump that shit. Just pump try it. And pump that shit, idiot.
Pump it. I imagine the other person encounters some unexpected resistance to an otherwise routine bump or two. Brothers, how am I supposed to be doing this?
You know how you're supposed to be doing this.
That's from wrestling in Winchester. Now listen, my brother, me listeners, before you start laughing too hard, I've shaken a lot of your hands. You're a wonderful people, kind.
Oh, I love your generous, spirit. So many of you came out to the LA show. We met so many beautiful hearts.
Sometimes you're bad at handshakes. You're just I've not shaken so a lot great. Of your hands. Some of you could pick up a tip or two. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
I always just assume that it's like, because I've done this before as well. Like, if you're standing in a line for something or you're waiting and you know that handshake's coming, like if somebody just encountered you at random, was like, hey, and you shook their hand, you would nail it, you know, 100%. But then when you have time to think about it, and yeah. you're like, mm-hmm. I'm about to shake yeah. this hand, well, it's up and down, right? No, wait, hold on.
Be proactive about down? It.
Wait.
If you're waiting in line to, like, after one of our live shows and you want to shake our hand and, like, that's super cool, go ahead and, like, get your hand ready. Do a little bit of pre-pro on that hand to make it perfect for us. Maybe breathe into it a little bit to get it to the ideal temperature. For me, that's 96.5, a little bit cooler than normal. I like a nice
definitely
cool
not warmer.
Handshake. Definitely not wet. Definitely dry that hand right off.
I'm not sure which handshake I find more upsetting. Like, on the one hand, you got the one that feels like their arm was like somebody filled up a Jell-O mold that's mm-hmm. shaped like an arm. And then just kind of attached it to a person yeah, as if I wouldn't notice. I don't like that handshake. But I think what I find even more upsetting is like the super firm,
like they gotta
alpha
like,
dog.
Yeah.
Like, don't try
oh,
that.
Oh, I
fucking,
like that one.
Don't try that fucking pickup artist bullshit with me.
I like
just
that
shake
one
my hand.
I can win that one. So I like that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, Travis has like extra knuckles inside of his hand. His hand is like a, I don't know, it's bristling with knuckles on the inside.
The handshake I dislike the most is that one where you go over the handshake and their hand closes like a second too soon, like some kind of awful claw game.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They grab like your fingers instead of like mm-hmm. your palm.
Yeah. And,
like,
and then they get embarrassed and try and back out. And it's like, don't back out. Just like fix it. Just fix it. Because if you back out now, this is what I'm going to remember you by, finger grabber.
A good handshake is like making love. There's no standard for it. You have to
read you can
the
get
other
pregnant
person's
from
energy.
It.
Yeah.
You have to see where they're going with it.
You can get crabs from it. You can get all kinds of stuff. This person is playing a dangerous fucking game. Because if you ever meet your counterpart in this world, and you guys go in to shake hands, and then both of you just grab hands and stand perfectly still, you are holding hands at that point. That has ceased to be a handshake. You are holding hands. If that's your boss, that's a whole ordeal. We got to call HR into the room. HR, please witness this. This is just a shitty handshake. We're not holding hands in the office on office hours.
Okay, but here's the I get this a little
You don't
bit.
Pump? You're not a pumper?
No, but I there's something to me that's always seemed so calculated and forced about the like handshake pump 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 done. There's something about like just a grab and kind of a like a almost like just a flex is all the pump you get, where it's just like grab and like you're just kind of flexing your arm and then you break off and that's
you
it.
You go into the, you don't go up and down, you go like in and you hit
yeah
like
you're locking
the,
like Voltron. It's kind of just like a
yeah putter, that like a putter there.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Which I kind of dig that way more, because it's much more of just like an acknowledgement of like, now our hands are together and now our hands are apart, and there was no kind of extraneous motion in there. Yeah. I kind of dig that.
Maybe.
But that said, if the other person starts to pump, you don't
you
just like stare
back.
Them in the eye and go,
you don't
no.
leave them standing alone on Pump Island. You've got to fucking send them a raft.
I want to ask one other quick favor, since I know that this only applies to like people who do meet and greets after their live podcasts, so this won't be widely useful, but it I'm using our show as like a megaphone for my own wants and desires. When you're at a thing and someone says, hi, I'm Justin McElroy, and you say, yes, I know, that's incorrect.
Wrong.
You wanged it. You wanged it. Because I know you know. We're playing a game here, you and I. We're going to meet each other. It's an introduction. I want to know you as a human. You may not believe that, but I do. I want to know each and every one of you. I wish I had the time after a live show to have a nice 20 to 22 minute chat with each of you about just your life and learning and living. And I want to get to know you. So please.
So say your goddamn name.
Just say, give me your name, please. Give me something to work with.
And I cannot stress enough, we love all of you. Please don't ever stop shaking your hand and talking to us and being
friends.
Yeah, we
don't give
because
a
we need you
kidding.
Very much.
We need you.
Can I say one thing that our listeners did fucking nail?
What?
And are consistently very good about? I was at the LA Live show, and after you do like a live podcast or whatever, or a panel maybe, or and you know, or even like a wedding thing that you know that you're gonna like shake a lot of hands afterwards. So I was in that mode, right? Like I know I'm about to go shake everybody's hand. I had to pee super bad. The show had just ended. And I was like, I gotta hit the bathroom. I walk into the bathroom. There's four people who I know were just in the podcast watching my podcast show. I peed. I washed my hands. I left. Not a word was uttered to me.
Nice.
It was like I was not there. And I was like in my head thinking, you sons of bitches are crushing this right now. Let me get out this door and I'm going to praise you heartily because you are playing this so well. And I am so happy.
What could have cut? What were they going to do?
Hey, man, hey, I hate to interrupt you. I just want to let you know it was a great job. You did
Thank
a great
you.
Job.
Hey, Madison, my good P-boy. What are you going to do?
I know you got your dick betwixt your fingers. Just want to let you know. You
fingers?
Also had my heart
you
in your
two?
Hand. I use all five.
What? How? Like a crow's beak?
Well, now I've got to think about it. Hold
yeah,
on.
Yeah, now I have to think about it, and I'm mad at you for making me do that. Y'all want a Yahoo?
Hit me. Yeah.
This Yahoo is sent in by Drew Davenport, Emerald member, fucking Diamond member, forever friend. Guys, if you weren't at the LA Live show, you missed Drew Davenport. Like,
in all his glory.
Us fucking ascending the throne. Here's some fun facts about Drew Davenport. He is 13 feet tall. He is
wide as a bull.
He is a mountain of a man and a jovial one to boot.
And he no shit has a natural glow about him that's blinding.
He's got a beard you could hide a fist in. He's got a lot of stuff. A lot of great assets. Thank you, Drew, for all the good times. So that's
and
by
the
y'all.
Bad times.
And the bad times.
Yeah, just thanks for being there.
Just thanks for...
He's a fair weather friend.
This is asked by Yahoo Answers user Derp, who asks, becoming Barney in school wear.
What?
So I have the perfect, neat, slim-fit blazer, trousers, shoes, tie, belt for school. Uh-oh. I have just recently been addicted to How I Met Your Mother. Why the finale? Why? No. And
okay,
Barney
diversion.
And Barney is my idol. I was just wondering. I'm in high secondary school, but I am known for being the suit guy. But I feel like I lose this in school. How should I dress, act, and talk to become like Barney, or in other words, become legend? Wait for it. Fuck you. Let's do this question.
All right, Derp. Barney is a fictional character.
He's a fictional character. I want to be Robinson Crusoe. Did I say Caruso? That's not his name.
He's a caricature of a person. In real life, no one would like that guy.
No one even likes him on the fucking show.
He's a punchline. That's the thing.
He's a goob.
He's not a real person.
You already fucked up if you're in high school and you're the suit guy.
The suit guy is not a thing you want to be in high school. Now, that said, if you're in high school and you wear a suit, good for you. I don't think anyone should ever be identified as the blank guy.
No, not good for you, Travis. You said a bad thing. Don't wear a suit.
No, I don't want to judge. Listen, if somebody wants to wear a suit, if someone wants to wear a Spider-Man costume, if somebody just wants to like roll up to school.
Incorrect. No. And no.
You're doing bad.
I'm done with this. Suspenders.
I'm done with the idea that people in high school should be making choices about their identity and everybody should just passively be okay with it. Listen, you're still in your formative years, okay? There's still a chance for me to help you. You wear a suit to weddings and funerals. Stop it.
Stop doing this. You can wear a nice pair of slacks and a polo or a button down. If you want to elevate your fucking like JNCO style, I get it. I get it. Go for it. But there's
well, what
a
if I want to wear tearaway pants and a button-up dress shirt?
You
just
mean like
for
you?
Example.
You mean like
just,
you did every goddamn day?
Just
in high
just as an example.
Let me ask you a question real quick because you did that was not a joke. You wore tearaway pants basically around the clock. Were you getting so much trim that you needed to have that fucking
First of all, I wore them maybe once a week. And okay. It was because I was in fucking show choir and
had to pussy
dance.
Day, you mean?
They were comfy dance pants.
Gotta be at the ready. Minutemen assemble. I mean, my balls, get out here.
I like that Travis's answer about meeting them for show choir was actually an implicit answer to Griffin's question about how much trium. Because that is zero. None.
I don't know. I was in show choir
because my girlfriend was in show choir. Yeah.
And you put on that sequin vest and you sang, "We Built This City." And
we built this city was the year before me, Griffin. My year was.
Things got damp.
We did more of like a Billy Joel kind of style, I think.
Oh, it just got 10 times better in the erotic department.
I'm gonna hope against hope that you were doing that because it was in that the few years that Billy Joel was married to one of Huntington's native daughters, and you were hoping that maybe he would come by. See,
Justin, I live my life every second hoping Billy Joel comes by.
So here's
with just his body, not like him driving into your office window.
No, God, no.
Here's a fun side story, okay? Billy Joel marries...
Have to have told this story before.
No, nope. I don't... Well, okay, no, I don't think so. Okay, so Billy Joel married Katie Lee, who is somebody that I knew a little bit. We did some shows together back in the day in the outdoor theater. So... He married Katie Lee, who then goes on to, she hosts the first season of Top Chef, and she's done some other cookie shows, whatever, that was after this. So Billy Joel marries Katie Lee, and the interesting thing about this is that it starts this weird sort of like pseudo-paranoia in Huntington that at any given moment Billy Joel could show up to something. And it's more of like an expectant thing, mm-hmm. like a child whose parent has abandoned them, that every time they're at like the science fair or something, they have that like back of their head fantasy that maybe they heard about it and their erstwhile father will show up. It was sort of like that with Billy Joel for a while. Anytime like a large house sold in Huntington, the rumor mill would fly
that it was
purchased by Dr. William Joel Honoré, and that it was his. That was his home. That's where he was going to live.
There was a bar on
a home here.
That bar on 4th Street that used to be Club Echo. That it peaked at Club Echo, but it would like rotate every maybe year and a half to become a different bar. In the height of that fever, it became C&O Piano Bar, and I think it fucking became that, like expecting that maybe the Joelster would cruise on through.
A piano bar, eh? Well, I just happen to know a piano man.
Uh-huh.
Billy, just keep driving.
Billy, please.
Just once.
No, we're going to Chickadee's. Stop
what
it.
What could it hurt?
We're going to Stumblers 2, Still Stumbling. We can't stop and see an O-Piano bar.
We left your tab open before we went to see a movie at the Camelot, and we said we'd be back, and now we have to go back.
A lot of really great references. Another question.
Yeah. Years ago, my two best friends who were dating had a wickedly ugly breakup, which resulted in me having to choose sides. I sided with my homeboy and broke contact completely with the other. It's been 6 years and emotions have subsided, so I decided to bury the proverbial hatchet and just make peace. Now she's inviting me to hang out as if nothing happened, when I don't even really know this person anymore. Should I just accept that I open this Pandora's box and jump back into things, or should I go with my gut and tread carefully? That's from Critically Confused in Cranberry.
Ooh, I feel some real advice coming on. It's been a while.
Uh-oh.
I know, it's just like, this is a thing that everybody, I think, has to deal with. It's like a combined thing of having to choose sides when your friends break up is already pretty awful, and it's unfair, and it's something you shouldn't have to do, but we all have to do it at some point. It is that combined with the, like, latent awkwardness of, I haven't seen this person in years. Do we, like, making, like, the catch-up call to somebody that, like, you used to be really good friends with and then you haven't talked to is always, like, in your brain before you do it, like, going to be the most fucking uncomfortable thing ever. Because you have to ask them, like, what are you?
Well, let me counter that, though, because I think that it's I think the ideal way to do it is you kind of fake it till you make it,
no,
kind of thing.
Because
hear me out. Where you jump in like, you know, you just spoke the day before, and then things kind of shake out where it's like, okay, great, I'm noticing that this is different and this is different, and they like this now, instead of like, let's sit down and have a 30-minute intensive conversation about what's different in our lives.
No, I think that's what you got to do, and I think that's worth it, because you can't just be like, you sit down, hey, it's good to see you, you too, should have done this a while ago, yeah, sure. So how's work? Like, no, I've been in grad school for 3 years. You fucked that one up. Next. How's Jimmy? Jimmy's an astronaut now. Jimmy's in space. I don't see Jimmy anymore. He's with the space men now.
He's with space Jesus now.
How's your dog? Dog died. Next. Keep it up. Do you want to... I hear the good...
Wait, are you saying that's the ideal? Like, that's what you have to do?
No, I'm saying that's what you get when you fake it until you make it. That's your strategy. I sit down and I say, let's just, like... Well,
then you sit down, you play
out.
Mario Kart 8, and like you don't talk about shit you don't know the answer to.
And then they leave, and it's like, oh fuck, I forgot to ask anything about you because I don't know anything about you. I guess our whole relationship, we have to be playing Mario Kart 8 whenever you come over now.
There's
shit.
That's kind of weird to me in this question. You said it's been 6 years and emotions have subsided, so you decided to bury the proverbial hatchet, make peace. Where does your homeboy figure into this? What is his... like, did you ask his blessing before burying this hatchet?
I don't think
like,
you need to. 6 years is a long fucking time.
6 years is a really long time. How bad were these emotions at 6 years?
Yeah. I mean, it could not be. It couldn't be. It could just be like, you stopped hanging out with this person, and when you do that, like, they left your mind's eye, and you didn't, like, think to do that. I'm saying it's always worth it to, like, to try and reconnect with a person. Like, it's always so great because then you have, like, one of your old friends is back. It's always, like, the best thing ever is just, like, broaching that subject is always really rough. I think you have to be, like, really open about it. Like, hey, we lost touch and that sucked. Let's just, like, just run through it. This hangout is going to be us, like, fucking getting through the past 6 years. And then the next time we hang out, it can be just, like... What did you do this week?
You will honestly, you will be surprised how quickly you can wrap up the important things in 6 years.
It's easy. And like, they're doing it. They want to do it too.
I'm with you guys on this.
They don't know what you've been up to. Like, they're in the same boat. Like,
well, because in any relationship, communication is key, right? Like, that's the thing. So I changed my mind. Because here's the thing. If you really are going to reestablish a true friendship with this person and you were best friends before this all shook out and now you're looking to like rebuild that, I think it's perfectly justifiable to be like, hey, I feel like, you know, we really grew apart in that 6 years and we lost contact. So what's up? Let's catch up.
I would find it so flattering that, like, you want to put in the effort to, like, this relationship meant something to us at some point. Like, it really means a lot to me that you want to, like, work to get us back to where we were. Like, I don't know, man. I think it's super... It's super nice, and it's something, like, I'm dishing it out, but, like, it's something I struggle with. I've been going to a lot of weddings this year and, like, reconnecting with, like, my oldest, dearest friends that I'm just, like, such a shithead about, you know, calling once a month or so. I think the more that you do it, I feel like that's a big part of becoming an adult is, like, realizing that everybody that you were friends with in school coming up have also become adults. Mm-hmm. And it's so fucking cool to like talk to them and see like how you guys have developed.
Things broke bad,
but most of the time they're not gonna
get weird.
The
and
nature
that's the problem with these conversations. This is why it's such a this is why a lot of times in my life I will avoid these conversations because I'm so afraid of saying to the person like. So how is this person that I sort of kind of remember from your family and they're dead? And like, I can't even process that. Like, this is not a goof. Like I worry enough about that I will actually avoid conversations like this because I am so paranoid about, I think it's honestly just like looking stupid because I don't think people would be like upset, angry at you. Like I'm just worried about looking dumb in front of a person and saying, like, the stupidest thing.
But, Juice, isn't that, like, a litmus test where if the person's like, they're dead? And you're like, okay, so's this friendship. Like, where if that person's going to judge you for not knowing this thing because you haven't spoken
to them. It's less about them judging.
Anxiety isn't really rooted in, like, social anxiety especially, isn't really rooted in the realities of the situation, because almost with all of these, like the worst, like people are usually very sort of like generous and kind about conversation. That's the thing you have to like concretely remind yourself of. But you know, it's not really rooted in the realities of how they're going to react. It's like,
yeah,
it's just, that's just the paranoia.
Start general. Like I start with like, so what are you doing now? Like, where do you live? That's a good one. Like, where do you live and what do you do there is a good way to like start out. And then like you get your feet wet from there. Don't start with who in your family died this year. Yeah. Like that's,
and don't, and try to say general. I think don't ask like, are you still really into Deep Blue something? Because I seem to remember you being very into that band.
Sure. And what if their answer is yes, I'm a groupie for them.
I'm in the band.
I hand jobbed all of them yesterday.
Could you just throw out like, how's your family? And then let them fill in the blanks as they feel comfortable with.
That's
like,
risky.
as opposed to like, how's your dad doing? How's your brother who had all those risky tendencies? Yeah,
keep it real general, I think. And
how are the people in your life?
That's going to like, whatever they tell you is probably going to be a pretty good indication of who they are, and then you can move on from there. But it's hard, and it gets harder the longer you go without talking. But man, like, I never get off a phone call with one of my friends that I haven't talked to in a few months without feeling like fucking awesome about it.
Yeah.
You're right, Griff. I need to just get over and just do that more.
Just because
it really feels kind of like finding a time capsule where you're like, oh, yeah, there's all this awesome stuff I forgot about.
Yeah. And you think, I think this is one of the problems with like, I've really turned a corner on Twitter and Facebook. I kind of think they're the fucking worst now. And I think it's because like you follow your friends on there and you see pictures of like the food that they eat and the vacations that they take. And you think like, man, I really know what this guy's up to now. But you fucking don't. Like, you gotta call them, and you need to like actually have a human conversation with them, and then you'll know. You trick it. Social media is like a way of tricking yourself into thinking you're staying in really good touch with their friends, but really you're just like a creepy voyeur of the meals that they eat.
Well, I will say this: I think the one thing that Facebook really does well for me is, even if it's not deep, it at least keeps in my mind's eye, like, hey, you haven't talked to Jordan in a while. And it's like, oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. I haven't.
It does give you a nice opportunity to, like, you can, if you see someone coming up that you know that you haven't talked to in a long time, you can sort of hide in their peripheral as you check their Facebook. And then
there is also that.
Get a few sort of grounders, I call them.
Yeah.
A few easy ones you can ask about.
Because, yeah, then you always have the, hey, I saw on Facebook that you just got a new puppy. How's that going? And then
that's
you've
a fucking
got
weird things. I don't know. Now that I say that, I would say
no.
Really?
Don't say that out loud. No,
that seems like a weird.
Hey, I know
thing.
We haven't talked in 6 years, but I looked at. Oh,
I still watch.
But isn't that completely socially accepted at this point that people look at your Facebook all like, hey, the reason I follow you on Facebook is so I know this shit. It's
no,
not like,
but
it's
I
not like you're NSA hacking them. Like,
no,
they put up a picture on.
I prismed you, and it looks like you're really happy with that new man.
I guess it might be naive of me to say this, but I would like to think that if you were close with this person, they might be feeling the same thing and saying like, hey, I don't want this to be awkward, but it's been so long since we talked. Let's just, like, get down to it. I mean, I would like to think that would be the best way to approach it. I know that's completely different from how I started.
Yeah, we changed minds together, Justin.
Yeah, but it's like, you know what? Just, like, be real. And if they were really your friend, and if that's really a connection you want to rebuild, then rebuild it. And sometimes that takes work, and sometimes that work is
this is
scary.
This answer's going on too long.
I love you.
I got it. It's taking forever.
It's just that I miss you,
get
guys,
it.
And I feel
we
like
get
we
it.
Never talk.
We get it.
We just never
we
talk,
it.
And I miss you,
it.
Justin.
We get it. We get it.
What have all you right. been up to?
We get it.
Okay.
I get your whole thing. I get it. You're just wrong.
We just did like 30 minutes on that question. We were wrong the whole time, and you didn't say anything?
I got bored enough that I just feel like you're wrong. I feel like no right answer should take that long to explain. I feel like the easier, the simpler answer is usually the right one. Isn't that what Occam's Razor is?
Yeah.
I think Occam's Razor is from Harry's.com. Check out Harry's.com for all your shaving needs.
Bitch, we're not doing, they didn't pay for that. Edit that out. Bleep that.
I'm just using a Harry's Razor right now, so I thought about it.
Can we talk?
They're not bad. They're pretty good.
Can we talk really about like the companies them. That did give us money to talk about their product?
problem with doing ads for major companies is that you get all this money and you don't have anywhere to put it.
It is such an issue. I deal with it every day.
We insist that all of our payments come in quarters.
Yeah. So have you seen Hoarders? It's kind of like that.
Have you seen the show Hoarders?
Have you seen Quarter Hoarders? What's the show called? Quarter Hoarders. You saying Quota Hoda? Quarter
Hoarders. It's called Hodor Hoarders. I got all these piles of Hodors. What do I do with them? Well, you can put them in simple.
You can go to simple.com and put your giant men.
Deposit all your giant men at simple.com, the way banking should be. They're rebuilding banking from the ground up. If you don't, that you can spend without stress. If you don't know if you have enough Hodors in the bank, you can spend them.
Simple is the only other word that Hodor knows. That's how good a product it is.
That's how good it is. Yeah, save automatically. You have a goal. I want to have 1,000 Hodors by the end of this year. Simple will tell you how many Hodors you need to save, and it'll do it for you. It'll put it aside for you.
That's good, because these Hodors are just burning a hole in my pocket.
You can actually deposit Hodors from your phone. Now, here's the way that works. You take a picture of it, and then they scan it, and they say, okay, that one counts, and then you burn it.
Yeah, you burn that Hodor, and it's
in your account.
He's going to be scared of the fire and the technology. The whole process is not going to be great for the Hodor, but you got to digitize them. You got to.
It's just like Tron. They're instant free transfers between your different Simple accounts for when you forget to pay your roommates for that Cheetos bag. I don't know.
I think I mean bag of Cheetos.
It and says not just bag like of Cheetos. Okay, so in our copy, it says that Cheetos bag. I'm assuming we're talking about a bag of Cheetos and not selling collectible Cheeto wrappers.
Not some kind of weird, like, packaging
was this
economy
part of
the, you and your roommate
was
have.
This copy that Simple sent us, or is this Travis's own input?
Travis?
No, this is it.
This is their copy. This is the copy they sent us?
When you have to pay your roommate for that Cheetos bag.
What
you know.
Is there? Okay, the banking solution they have come up with is arguably the greatest banking solution on earth.
Oh, they've solved banking.
They fixed banking, but it sounds like their whole situation, maybe their home life is not so great.
I mean, it also says pay your bills fast before your Hot Pocket is done microwaving.
And they've also imagined a sort of odd post-apocalyptic bubble future that's only in your apartment where Cheetos bags are currency.
Right.
That'll be 2 Cheetos bag and 3 Pop Tops.
Sorry, man. That's how we do it in the wasteland. What are you talking about, the wasteland? This is Barbersville. Now, that's what I call my apartment. It's the wasteland. It's a post-apocalyptic bubble universe. It's
my roommate and I haven't talked in 6 years.
Can I cut you a rent check for my part of the rent? Your money's no good here. You're American currency. You can go to the bank, by which I mean the Kroger's, where you can exchange your American currency for Cheetos bags. Thank you very much.
Don't bring the Cheetos around here, though. The actual Cheetos I'm highly allergic to. Simple is a real bank. It's FDIC insured. And you can go to simple.com/mybrother to skip the wait list. Otherwise, you have to wait to get in. But that's not going to happen to you. You're going to go to simple.com/mybrother. And Simple, that's the way banking should be.
Listen, we joke, but go check it out. It really is like an amazing shit. It really is incredible.
It's
an amazing shit.
You know what? You know what I don't need?
Advertiser dollars, apparently.
Guys, this is not a joke. I'm very hungry. And I would like...
Did you eat that bagel yet?
No, I'm looking forward to that bagel. It's reclaimed wheat. It's a reclaimed grains bagel.
Can I tell you the problem with that, Griffin? It's going to give you a fat ass.
It is. It goes straight to
your It's going to go to your
My
ass.
Trader Joe's reclaimed grain bagel.
It's going to go straight to your ass.
Straight to your ass.
You know, I bought that thinking it was going to be real tasty. What did they reclaim those grains from?
From an old school.
From an old shut down school.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, fuck. We left so many grains behind in our old school.
You can make a living demolishing buildings and returning those grains.
And getting all the grains out of them. Yeah,
they give you $1 per pound of grain.
That's a good, good deal.
Or you could just fucking go to naturebox.com so you can get in shape, get blasted, get tiny for the beach, Your enemy is the vending machine. That's all prepackaged.
You gotta kill the vending machine.
You have to destroy the vending machine to get strong. It's easy. NatureBox makes eating better easy. They're gonna send you great tasting snacks right to your door. You know what? I've been eating a lot of French toast granola lately. That's very good.
You know, so good.
It
slipped my mind and I forgot to like fill out my order, so they just sent me like 5 surprise snacks, and they're the fucking best. Got some sea salt pop pops.
How are those pop pops?
They are so fucking good. It's like a mixture of kind of like the like toasted kernels and like slightly popped popcorn. The flavor is like really subtle but still good. We got some cheddar onion sunflower seeds. Peanut butter nom noms.
Okay, so they're just like making. They're like making like fudges.
What? Yes, but the peanut butter nom noms are these really soft kind of cookies. Oh, they're incredible. They're really, really great.
They're all healthy. They don't sound healthy. You talk about, I don't know, Pop Pops doesn't sound healthy. It is, I promise. There's no trans fats, no fructose. Get all that fructose out of there.
And you'll even find snacks that are gluten conscious and do not contain GMOs.
No GMOs.
If that kind of thing is important to you.
It should be. You're poisoning your body.
With the GMO.
It is.
If it's important to you, it's on there.
You look up in the sky and you see all the chemtrails. GMOs are just chemtrails that you eat. Yeah,
okay, that's fine. I just think it's anti-science to begin to
choose. Oh, come on.
That's just me. No, I personally. But
I don't care one way or the other because I don't care about things because I'm dead inside.
You should care about chemtrails. Absolutely, you should care about
chemtrails. Who is chemtrails?
Try naturebox.now. 50% off your first box by going to naturebox.com/mybrother. That's a pretty big savings if you want to try this. It's like half off.
It's like almost half.
And there's different sizes of boxes, too, with like different amounts in them. So like if you're, you know, if you're one person, if you're a family, it goes both ways. And those things last, man. Like I was really worried that like Teresa and I, we like snacks. I was afraid we'd burn through them. It pretty much balances out so that like once a month you get the box and then you're just about ready for a new one when the new one arrives.
And they stay fresh for a while. So they do. I've been eating that French toast granola for a while. Anyway, naturebox.com/mybrother. Go.
I got a message for Jennifer Spies. You think it's Spies?
Yeah.
Not Spies?
I'm going to go with Spies.
It's way better. Sounds right. Jennifer Spies. From Michael Thiel. Can we just get some whatever happened to like Johnson? Hi, my name is Jeff Johnson. That's easy.
My name is Jack Johnson.
My name is Jack Johnson. Here's a message. It's for Jennifer. Happy birthday, Jennifer. This is what the money I got from drilling screws out of asbestos-filled ceiling tiles went towards, so I hope it's worth it.
Wow,
probably not. Sorry about your lungs.
And Michael, way to just be like, hey, this is what I did for you.
I love you. And I hope this shows up in an episode at least within a month of your birthday on June 13th. Nailed it. Pretty close. Yeah, about a week and a half afterwards. Happy birthday, Jennifer. Happy new lung day, Michael.
Sorry about your mesothelioma.
Sorry about your whole thing. Sorry about your miso.
Sorry about your miso soup.
Sorry about all that stuff.
I took a quick look to see if I could find Jennifer on Twitter. I don't think this is her. Their username is @Jen=drink, and drink is in all caps. Mm. And her last tweet was from June 8th, and she says, if we can't say, and the N-word is here.
Oh, okay.
You can't say yeehaw, LMAO, #passion, #crystal keg.
Wow.
It's a pretty good tweet.
I don't think that's our Jennifer. That doesn't sound
that doesn't like, sound
doesn't
like,
sound
our,
like
Jennifer.
Our Jennifer, does it?
No, that's not the Jennifer I know.
She would never use that kind of...
Oh, this Jennifer also asked, where can I buy used sex toys? And she should know if she listens to our program where she can do that.
I don't think that Extreme Restraint sells
they don't have like an exchange program.
They don't have... They can't give you store credit for your salty dildo. No.
It is not a one-in, one-out kind of thing. Although they do have a product called the one-in, one-out.
One-out, right. So happy birthday,
happy
Jennifer.
Happy birthday, Jennifer. Please don't be this terrible person we just found. But you aren't. I know you aren't.
No, you're not.
And don't go tweet at that person, please.
Yeah, everybody, don't tweet at that person. They've got enough going on in their life.
They have a lot of terrible stuff.
This next message is for Hannah, and it's from Becca, a.k.a. Bex. And Beck says, to my big sis, Hannah, it's been an amazing 20 forward for you. Congrats on your PhD, your new job, and your impending nuptials. You're the best sister in the world, even if you did used to call me Chubby LeBoo.
That's a good name. That's a
pretty I'm good sad name. You're moving away, but I can't wait to visit you in Austin, where I fully expect you to become BFFs with Griffin. Keep killing it. And that's from Chubby LeBoo.
I already
Chubby
have,
LeBoo
I
already, says.
I have like one BFF already, and like... I it's very serious to me, you know. I'm not like a runaround Sue. Mm-hmm. I have the one BFF, and I, you know, I keep.
Is
that.
Your BFF Rachel?
Oh yeah.
You hesitated.
No, yeah, of course, my wife. Mm-hmm. You guys remember Borat?
My wife.
No, but Austin's great. You're gonna really like it. I'm too shy to talk to.
So that's from Bex to Hannah, and then we had one to Jennifer from Michael. Thank you guys for both telling everyone that you love them and supporting the show. If you'd like to get a message on the Money Zone, then go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron, and you could do, you know, birthday message or happy anniversary. You could also, if you have a business and you would like to have us make people go to your business, then go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron.
That's where that is. Y'all want a Yahoo?
Probably yes, not please. Make fun of your copy.
We might.
No, we only make fun of like big business copy, like independent.
Yeah,
because
we're alternative.
You know what? Here is a fucking fact for you, dear listeners, that will shock you. And there has never been an advertiser that has pulled their advertising from our show.
Nope.
And I think we keep pushing it just to like we keep walking the line because I think we kind of deep down want that eventually. Like we want that to happen.
We're trying to be controversial.
Like we really are. I don't think they listen.
That's either that I'm or it's at. Some kind of like weird shaming thing where they're like, we do deserve it.
Podcast advertising as masochism, apparently.
Sure.
Hey, Ross.
Hey, Carrie.
Hey, it's me, your co-host.
Oh, yeah, we have a show, don't we?
We have a show.
Oh, no, Ross
oh,
and
no,
Carrie.
Oh, no, Ross and Carrie. It's about undercover investigations of fringe groups.
Yeah, like the Tony Alamo Ministries cult.
Yep, that's led by a pedophile.
He's in jail.
Also, we became Mormons. We became Raelians, which is a UFO group.
That's right. We joined the Ordo Templi Orientis.
Yes, the 9/11 truthers. We got cupped. We got acupunctured. We got Reiki. We've pretty much anything that you've heard of and been like, that doesn't sound quite right. We've done that.
So you don't have to do it.
So if you want to hear about this, and you should, then go to MaximumFun.org.
This Yahoo was sent in by Tanner. Thank you, Tanner. It's by Yahoo Answers user Naomi, who asks, I got baptized, then smoked weed a day later, and this happened? I got baptized on Wednesday, then smoked some weed. Well, Reggie... Is that like a brand
is that
of
a nickname?
Is that like a strain?
Hold on. I'll look it up. You guys go on.
I'm on that Reginald. On Thursday.
I'm on that Val Johnson.
I'm on that Reginald Val Johnson. On Thursday, I've smoked. Okay, fuck. This question. No punctuation. I got baptized on Wednesday, then I smoked that sweet, dank Reginald Val Johnson on Thursday. I've smoked before, so it wasn't new to me. And then it says in D, which is like maybe a typo. Maybe they meant to say in BD, like no big deal. So at first I was feeling good, just chilling. Then like 40 minutes later, I got in the car and was going to drive home. But everything went cool. Bright, then black, and then another in D. I couldn't see. I drove over a curb? And got really dizzy and threw up. After that, I was a little high and felt pretty much sober. But that had never happened to me before. I've smoked way more than that before and not long ago from that day. So I don't know what happened. Any clues?
Just to clarify, Reggie is like regular, like street grade weed.
That sucks because Reginald Val Johnson is far from a regular street grade actor.
No, he is definitely top quality.
He is that
is
dank
is this
kush,
person's
prime kush.
Is this person's theory that had they not been baptized, this wouldn't have happened. But because they were baptized, Jesus looked down and said, like, oh, smoking weed, eh?
Can't do that shit in no mouth.
You got smote them.
You got in sanctified waters, and that will blend with that good, good Reginald cannabis inside your body, that dank, dank kush. And it's going to create a chemical reaction in your body that is going to be a fucking, like, visceral experience.
Oh, so it's like, it's a cross, like, bong water and holy water together are gonna fuck you up. Not like Jesus was like, no more weed for you.
No, I mean, there's a purely scientific reason for it. Sanctified water plus Vel Johnson tight, tight smoke in your lungs.
I feel like enough time passes between the introduction of the fact that this person got baptized and the end of the question that it almost takes on sort of a Chekhov's gun veneer, so that you aren't actively thinking about it, and maybe that's the twist. It's like it gives you long enough to sort of forget about it, and then so when it pops back up you're like, oh, that makes perfect sense. So maybe this question asker literally did not remember the baptism part, and when people circle back around on it, actually, now that you mention that, baptism, I've forgotten.
I call that trope Burke's Law, because that was every episode of Burke's Law. But they fucking show you, they give you all the clues that you need to solve the mystery. It's right there at the beginning.
Especially if you're 75.
If you're 75 years old, you're going to figure it out. It is Slylock Fox level difficulty.
We can agree that this person had an embolism, right?
Or
I don't think that that is what happened. I think that I am a huge advocate for, not a huge advocate, I don't actually.
For smoking weed and driving?
I support the legalization of marijuana pretty broadly. These are helpful reminders, I think. I think it's a helpful reminder that not just the smart people get to purchase legal weed. There are going to be some people that get baptized and then get super Reggie high the next day and then think, you know what, I'm going to motor on over to a destination of my choice in a car. A heavy one, too. A real heavy car.
The heaviest car I can find.
I'm just going to get to driving in the heaviest car I can find. I'm a little high, but I'm mostly sober. Puke.
Should I take the smart car? Nah, I'll go with the Hummer.
Is it possible that the original Vel Johnson was laced with a little Urkel?
I'm on that Jaleel.
Well, I mean, just like a 5% Urk mix. You know what I mean? Just enough that you're like, yeah, I feel fine. But then you introduce like a bunch of moving objects in your rearview mirror and suddenly blackout, puke.
You said you were selling me the Reggie. This is fucking Richie. This is bullshit. I paid top dollar. Richie was a character on that show. Richie.
Yeah, he was the little kid.
He was the littlest Richie. Guys, is it cool to, like, when he got baptized, did he not be like, as part of this ritual, I promise to you, Jizo, that I'm not going to do as much weed smoking. I'm going to give you, like, a 24-hour window of just, like, blissing out on these holy waters.
I don't think Jesus gives two shits either way.
I guess not. But this guy obviously thinks that there's a connection there. Because he has smoked this Reggie on the reg. On the reg. So, like,
it's like a Reggie on the Reggie.
This has never happened to him before. And he seems like the kind of person that smokes a lot of weed.
He seemed like an informed scientist who's taking notes in a complex journal.
Which is what makes me think that this reaction transcends science. I don't know, guys. I think there might be a little. I think you might have gotten touched by an angel.
This week on Divine Intervention.
Maybe.
I'd watch that show, by the way.
Makes you think. Have you listened to Mabim Bam? Yeah, that podcast makes me think. And that's why I like it.
I wonder if this person got to the end of writing this question and thought, what am I doing? What am I doing here? I don't think there's even a question. What am I doing?
I think this is more just a weird story I'm telling.
I feel like I'm telling a weird story. I don't know what the response would be.
Or who could respond to.
And I have to get ready for work as Vice President of the United States of America.
I got another question for you guys. I'm getting married next May. While planning the celebration has been a breeze, my fiancé and I have hit on one point of conflict, whether to have a wedding cake or go non-traditional to have a wedding pie.
If I can get you brothers on my side, maybe my big day will have that extra berry filling to put it over the top. That's from Fearfully Frosted in Philadelphia. Now, you can't see this at home, but the F from Fearfully Frosted has been transplanted to replace the PH in Philadelphia.
Oh, that's three fine. Fs. Can I tell you something, Chus? I love the way that you say the word fiance. You sound like John Malkovich's character in Rounders when you say, like, trying to say fancy.
Yeah.
Fiance.
Fancy.
Chick.
Let's splash the pot.
Let's all simultaneously
do our
Teddy KGB impressions. Chick. You give the man his money.
that was my favorite. We're a cake family, damn it.
You'll be unsatisfied.
This used to be like the big point for. I feel like we had, again, have to have talked about this on the show. Like, we used to have like brutal fights about whether cake or pie was better. I feel like wedding traditions in our generation have been all but phased out.
Yeah.
At this point. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I think that the idea of doing something because it's traditional is the wrong reason to do anything. If you're saying I want pie and my fiance wants cake, that's a much different discussion than we both want to have pie, but he's worried about breaking
the actually
tradition.
Feel like the conversation about whether or not to have cake or pie at X event is more important than the conversation as to whether or not it's important at a wedding. Just the general question is the thing you need to be worried about.
Whether cake or pie is more delicious.
Right.
And we can't get into this. We could
let me throw this out. Both.
Yeah. What? Have a groom's pie.
Yeah. You know, at our wedding, we did like cheesecake bites because we love cheesecake, and that was the way we went with it. And it was kind of that. Well,
that's but not what I would have guessed.
Well, here's the point of the story. Is that we were worried about it going in, like, is this weird? Because we're not going to have, like, you know, the traditional, like, three-tiered cake or whatever. And then it was one of the things that people talked about most of, like, I love that. That was so cute. And it was so you guys and blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's functional, too. I don't have to worry about, like, fucking, like, waiting my turn to get, like, a person who didn't want to be there to, like, cut me off a big old chunk. Is the chunk too big? Oh, I can't eat all this, but I have to, or also feel guilty. Is it too small? And I have to go wait in fucking line again.
And yeah, we just set out like cake plates on each table with cheesecake on them. It was pretty brilliant, if I say so myself. But if you guys want to do pie, do pie. If you want to do cake and pie, do cake and pie.
If you want to do a pie cake, shut up. That's not a fucking thing.
If you want to do ice cream cake, if you want ice cream cake at your wedding, fuck it. That sounds awesome. Go to DQ. Throw them on the table.
Go to fucking DQ and get some blizzards. And then serve those
to people.
If you
want wedding blizzards, if you want wedding chicken strip baskets, go for it. They got that Texas toast.
I, as part of my vows, will now feed you a dilly bar.
I gotta say, Trev, I drove your cheesecakes to the event. That was my contribution. Is I went and picked up your cheesecakes. And I don't know that I've ever been so excited as when I had four cheesecakes stacked up in my passenger seat and knew that I was going to be able to hit those home. I never, ever get that excited about cake.
Nope.
Ever.
No.
They were good, too.
They were good, man.
That was our special, like, you know, the wedding party table. We got cakes from Cheesecake Factory.
Ooh.
I will say that kicking it at Cheesecake Factory on Sunday morning, the morning of my brother's wedding, which was kind of a weird experience for me. I was the most dressed up anyone's ever been inside a Cheesecake Factory ever. Felt a little bit out of place, a little bit fish out of water.
Was that before or after I made you drive back to my house to get my special
Travis
wedding
made
underpants?
Us get his special wedding night underwear. And I had to look at them. I had to get them. I had to get them from the underwear spot where he kept all of the things. And I had to get it. And I touched them.
He had to acknowledge that they existed.
I had to. Okay, here's the order. I learned about them. I said, that's terrible. Then I learned that I would have to retrieve, touch, know, feel, believe, hold, grasp, acknowledge, become,
embrace, absorb.
And now you guys are doing that at home. They were silky as fuck. No,
they were silky and they were black and they were kind of
black,
just a little bit sheer, just a little bit sheer.
So
just like I'm a little bit dead now.
I acknowledged that they existed. I had to touch them.
And my balls went into them.
Thought about Travis. Thought about Travis's balls. How they would feel inside of them. Had to acknowledge the moment where Travis decided to get special wedding underwear, then go to a store, possibly with his bride to be. Had to think. Had to learn a lot about Travis's.
More of an impulse buy. It was a lot more of an impulse buy where I looked at it and said, you know, that's going to feel real good.
I had to learn a lot about Teresa that I didn't know and the things that she prefers there, around there. Terrific. Best wedding ever. Here, let me rewrite all of my best man speech because I have new fucking subjects that I need to address.
I'm going to go pop up behind the music for a minute.
Don't say pop up.
Pop up video behind the music. I bought the wedding underpants not for a sexy bent, but because I knew the silky smooth material would prevent any chafing day of, which I didn't want to deal with as I'm walking down the aisle.
I need to call bullshit on you, Travis. The decision to buy special sexy wedding underwear may have been an impulse buy. The decision to send your brother to go get your special wedding
was intentional. That was intentional, and it was malicious.
It was a combination of because I knew that if I didn't, I would think about it all day because that's the way my brain works. Like,
rather I think about it all day.
And then two,
all life.
It was funny to me to make Griffin do.
Yeah, it sure was, I guess.
You're Keith's in here, man. You sit wherever you want to go get your special wedding underwear.
Let's finish the show. I have to go purge.
Thank you so much for listening to my brother and me. We hope you've been having a good time listening to it. Just like when we were making it, we had a good time. Thank you to people tweeting about our show, like Ryan Lynch, Patrick Doan, Frida Zink, Sam Tepper, Matt, Wade Rocket, Blue Delinquenti. I think.
Whoa.
Many others.
That was beautiful.
Thanks, everybody.
Good luck to our friend Danielle Corsetto, who's setting off across this great land of ours. Hopefully, she'll take our podcast along to let her entertain her. I want to thank a few people that sent us some stuff to our P.O. Box. It's P.O. Box 54, Huntington, West Virginia, 25706. Courtney Salazar sent us some snack bars.
Hmm.
And I've been enjoying those. My wife had one for breakfast just this morning.
Are they good? Tell me about them.
They're good. They're good. They're kind. It's like the cranberry almond nut type things. Thank you for the beautiful postcard to Boyett in the Beltway. Sent us a lovely note about how much our show has meant to her. Another one from Renee along those same lines. So thank you so much, Renee. That was lovely. We got a, and she graduated. So congratulations from the University of Baltimore. Congratulations, Renee. Sorry we couldn't be there for your special day. Got another beautiful postcard from Adam and Shelley. It is of a little boy peeing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
From the Netherlands, I believe.
Is that what they're into over there?
And then thank you to, I believe this is Jeffrey, for a postcard of from Hawaii that just has a some sort of island woman in a thong in front of a waterfall, and it says paradise on it.
So awesome.
You definitely know the way to our heart. And thank you to Terry and Andy for a copy of their book, The Complete Monster Exchange Program. They thought we would get a kick out of it, so they sent it along. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Lovely gift. Travis, you and Buttercup also got a gift.
Oh, yeah?
It's downstairs, though. I'll get it for you next time you come in. So thank you to whoever sent that along.
Well, that's mysterious.
Thank you to everybody who came out to the LA Live show. It was amazing. Sorry for the audio quality of the New York Live shows. We had to kind of throw it together last minute. We try to fix it up as much as we can.
James Gowdy complained about that, and then I was I was joking around with him, and now he I think he's legitimately mad. I tried to
James,
apologize.
James, we're so sorry. Please
James,
come back.
James, if you're listening,
He's not listening. He's done.
He's not listening. He's done listening because I pissed him off. I didn't mean to, so I'm sorry to him.
But yeah, we're still going to parse those. Or I said that last week, and it didn't make sense. We're spreading them out a little bit. I'll be out of town July 4th weekend. We're doing our fucking show planning on the air now. So maybe we can drop one then, and then Justin's going to have a baby in, like, God, like a month and a half. So I imagine we'll need one for that. You get
and we're in talks and planning to do more live shows. So
yes,
if you weren't able to make it out to the LA exciting one, we're doing so many more.
Where do you live?
2014, 2015.
Where do you live in the country? We're going to be there, probably.
We will come to there.
We will come to that.
We will take your money. We will spend it probably on Reggie.
Yeah, so tight. But seriously, thanks everybody for coming out. It was a very, very wonderful evening. Thanks also to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Are boat party tickets still on sale? I feel like they're like in the final stages.
It's like the final stages, but you can actually get them for cheaper. You use the coupon code
Middleist. No,
coupon code last minute.
Sexabunga.
For $50 off. It's till Wednesday. You go to boatparty.biz. You are not going to want to miss this.
I really want to get. If I had more vacation time, I would be there in a fucking heartbeat. If I wasn't taking my honeymoon this year, I would definitely be going. It seems amazing.
And we want to say thanks to NatureBox for God continuing to be an amazing supporter of the show. If you haven't gone to check it out, what the fuck are you waiting for? Yeah. Go to naturebox.com/mybrother and you'll get 50% off your first order. Go now. Also thanks to Simple, who's rebuilding banking from the ground up and basically has just revolutionized banking. They've solved banking.
They fixed it.
They put people before policies, and it's really just an amazing idea. And there's a huge wait list that you can skip if you go to simple.com/mybrother. So go check out NatureBox and go check out simple.com. Also, if you haven't taken the chance to listen to all the other amazing Max Fun shows, then you need to do that because I love them.
They're very good. I listen to them all the time.
I spent the last 3 days listening to episodes of The Goose Down, mm-hmm. Oh No, Ross and Carrie, yep. Wham Bam Pow, yep. Lady to Lady, mm-hmm. One Bad Mother, yep. Jordan Jesse Go, yeah. Bullseye.
Yep.
All right, Throwing Shade.
Sure.
Stop Podcasting Yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like I'm missing some. Oh, and Sawbones.
Woo!
Sawbones, which if you like the dulcet tones of Justin McElroy, or even if you don't worry, Sydney's there and she'll make it all worth a while.
Yeah.
But check out these amazing shows. Just go to MaximumFun.org and all of them are there. Oh, Judge John Hodgman. I knew I was missing one.
Well, you forgot a lot. Anyway.
Ah, damn it. But there's tons. Go check out MaximumFun.org. You're going to find something you love.
Okay. We are done.
This
is the end of the
podcast. This final Yahoo was sent in by Justin Long. Thank you, Justin Long. It's by Yahoo Answers user Addison May, who asks, memory foams, do they record dreams?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
You remember my brother, me, kiss your dad, square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Have you made vacation plans yet? The second annual Atlantic Ocean Comedy and Music Festival is ready to set sail this summer, and we want to see you on board. Imagine amazing comedians, stellar music, and beautiful Caribbean views. It all takes place July 25th through 28th, en route to Nassau, the Bahamas. And frankly, we've impressed even ourselves with this lineup of bullseye favorites. You've got Moshe Kasher.
I was in an airport recently. You ever see somebody and you're just like, oh, so you're what's wrong with everything in the world.
Kyle Kinane.
Anybody else in here get so drunk last month you had to call a cab just to take you to Wendy's?
W. Kamau Bell.
So complicated, my feelings.
Morgan Murphy.
I don't know if you guys know what a facelift is. It's when they take your face skin and they peel it away from your face, and in that little space there, that's where they find your self-esteem.
And besides them, Greg Barrett, Chris Fairbanks, Karen Kilgariff, Natasha Leggero, Guy Branum, Tony Kameen, and Carol Cole, plus an awesome music lineup hosted by John Roderick of the Long Winters and featuring our pal Gene Gray. Come on, what else are you going to be doing? Don't miss the funniest weekend of your life. Get your tickets right now. Go to boatparty.biz. Yeah, that's right. Boatparty.biz. The Atlantic Ocean Comedy and Music Festival. Comedy, music, shuffleboard.